InfoWars, tomorrow's news, today.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Monday morning. Alex Jones is out today. I'll be here for the first hour covering some of the breaking news over the week, including, of course, the war in Iran. And it ain't going well, folks. Trump is desperately trying to cobble together a coalition to reopen the Strait of Hormuz, and Europe is not interested, apparently. So we'll get into exactly why that is and what we can do about it and just how this entire gigantic debacle is going. It ain't good. It's not going well. And in fact, the effects are spilling over here in America. So actually, in the next segment, we'll be showing you a report from Alex Jones that he filed this morning about what's going on with Tucker Carlson and Mark Levin and that side of things, that aspect of this conflict that we're in right now, as it appears as though Tucker Carlson is being investigated by the CIA for potential foreign involvement, in foreign interference, and there's rumors flying about this. Tucker Carlson put out a video yesterday. Donald Trump put out a tweet yesterday, a Truth Social, I guess I should say, about how we should all be nice to Mark Levin, how we shouldn't be mean to little Mark Levin because he keeps getting absolutely obliterated on Twitter. He keeps being ratioed by pretty much anybody that tries because his position, like the position of so many Mark Levin types out there, is deeply, deeply unpopular in general to the American public. So we'll get into like what the strategy is for them moving forward. I actually have a video from a National Review event. I'm not sure what the event was they're putting on, but this guy actually says, literally, we can't beat Tucker. We have to humiliate him, which is kind of a crazy admission to make. I mean, they are literally saying we cannot win arguments, so we have to manufacture social contagion, essentially. It's pretty brazen how they're trying to shut down any conversation that would lead the American people into not wanting a gigantic world war with Iran. So again, we got to cover all this. We got to cover the front here, as it were. We'll get into what exactly is happening with the Strait of Hormuz and how Trump is trying to open it and not finding a lot of help there. Now, and then we'll get into what's happening with Mark Levin. I'll just say, when it comes to Mark Levin and getting Donald Trump to come defend his tiny member, and that literally is what it's about. It's just, this is the, it's the craziest time of all world history. This is it. We're in it. So we're going to be arguing about Mark Levin's member size today. And I know I'm not kidding, but look, the only thing more pathetic than Mark Levin crawling like the teacher's pet to teacher to demand that the teacher step in and scold everybody. The only thing more pathetic than going to Donald Trump and begging him to come scold everybody making fun of you, the only thing more pathetic than that is when it doesn't work, is when people still make fun of you and make fun of you even more. See, they think that by getting Trump to enter into the conversation on their side, that it will bolster their side and make Trump supporters be like, oh, I guess we should be nice to Mark Levin. Oh, I guess we should stop making fun of Mark Levin's tiny penis because Trump said so. And it's like, no, the opposite's happening. The only thing that's happening is Trump is being discredited. Trump's not bringing any gravitas to the Mark Levin side of things. He is simply destroying his own reputation and ability to influence the American political world. So I'll be here with you for the first hour. We'll go to a report from Alex Jones in the beginning of the next segment. Then Gavin McGinnis takes over. Stuart Rhodes finishes out the show for us. Absolutely huge broadcast on the Alex Jones Show today. Don't go anywhere. TheAlexJonesStore.com is how you support us. And we'll be right back on the other side with that special report from Alex Jones.
One of the most important things to me in my life is to get things right and to tell the truth and to be accurate. That's why they say Alex Jones is right. But it's not just our news, our prediction, our information that are incredibly accurate. It's the products. And out of all the amazing supplements at thealexjonesstore.com, our methylene blue, ultra methylene blue, is the best you're going to find on the market. It's so good for your body. Instant, clean, amazing energy. You owe it to yourself, if you sat on the fence, to go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and get ultra methylene blue. And believe me, you are going to want to reorder it again. We have an 84% reorder on that product. No other supplement anywhere has anything even close. That is how amazing it is. Secure your ultra methylene blue now at thealexjonesstore.com. And thanks for keeping us on the air.
Repeat what you said is happening. You feel in the...
I feel like that stuff in my fingers. I feel tingling fingers.
There's the camera. Blast them with full power right there. Ah! Yeah!
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from the Infowars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
Do things differently. And the same goes here in Israel. This means that the problem won't be solved by yet another new Knesset task force. It won't be solved by the government just throwing money at the problem. It won't be solved by the IDF spokesperson's unit issuing updated talking points or suddenly using TikTok. Like us in America, you need to adopt new strategies, to experiment with creative tactics, to study the results and scale what works. Maybe it's a whole new IDF unit, call it 8300, to lead this fight. But we need the kind of genius that manufactured Apollo gold pagers and infiltrated Hezbollah for over a decade to prepare for this battle. We need the kind of courage that executed Operation Deep Layer inside Syria and destroyed Iranian missile manufacturing capabilities to undertake this mission. This is the kind of ingenuity and inventiveness that have always been a hallmark of the State of Israel, that have always been a characteristic of the Jewish people. I know we can do it.
President Trump's coming to the defense of Mark Levin today on Truth Social is extremely troubling because of what he says there. First off, he implies that it's these evil, terrible people that aren't MAGA that are attacking him and that Trump's coming to his aid. Mark Levin, Ben Shapiro, and others have been all over the conservative circuit, CPAC, their own shows, TVUSA, saying Tucker Carlson is non-MAGA, Alex Jones is non-MAGA, and listing other people that are supposed to be excommunicated. Well, let's just get one thing straight here. I was around a lot longer than Trump politically, and I've never been MAGA. I'm 1776. I've supported the aims of Make America Great Again so far, but now those definitions are changing. But what Trump's really doing here is attacking his critics. He doesn't want to say, don't attack me in the Iran war. He wants to say, leave Mark Levin alone. He's the litmus test when he's calling for censorship and all the rest of it of people like Tucker Carlson and myself, or I will say that you're not part of our movement. Well, Trump, you don't have to worry about that. People are already very upset with you and already basically understanding that your legacy is being destroyed by you breaking your promise about this war and a lot of the other things you've done, like no real prosecutions of the deep state. So if you want to continue to self-inflict wounds on your own name and own political dynasty, I'm sad about that, but you know that's your life. You can do it. We're going to stay true to our populist, conservative, nationalist, Christian ideas that you wrote in on, but that we launched. I've been promoting these issues for 30-plus years. Mark Levin, Ben Shapiro, and all your darlings were never Trumpers and attacked you. And I've seen Lindsey Graham, you know, say, screw Donald Trump. Donald Trump can go to hell. But that's who you've chosen now, and their worldview more and more. You're ignoring Kennedy, saying we're going to give glyphosate, you know, protection, Roundup, and so many other things you're starting to break with why we voted for you. Now, still, you're better than the Democrats. So I don't hate you. I still promote the good things you do. But when you say, hey, if you criticize Mark Levin, that's a litmus test. You're by the wayside. You're a failure. You're in the dustbin of history. That's a neocon talking point of Mark Levin and Ben Shapiro. They're the ones that have almost no viewers or listeners anymore. They're the ones that are incredibly unpopular. And if you think taking on their political views is the right thing to do or is going to help you, then we can't stop you. But I've seen Mark Levin say a few months ago, people like Tucker Carlson, the rest of you, you think you're going to stop us with your little podcast? We'll do anything it takes to blah, blah, blah. It's open threats. Now you have the head of the ADL a few days ago literally say, literally, we'll play it in a moment coming up here on my syndicated show. I'm also posting this clip to X. So I'll post that clip under it. Greenblatt came out and said, you saw the great genius of us with the pagers and all the other operations killing our enemies. We need to do that in America in our eight-front war. So it's not just censorship and debanking and the ADL having meetings saying arrest me years ago. Now, oh, let's have criminal referrals for Tucker Carlson claiming because he's talking to Iranians during a war, which is a journalist's job, he's working for a foreign country, which they say is illegal. Well, Tucker isn't working for a foreign country, but you represent a foreign country, Israel. You have members of Congress wearing IDF uniforms during their votes. I mean, it's being flaunted. And so by attacking anybody as anti-Semitic that disagrees with total war with Iran, you guys have set the parameters now to basically define it as that. And you're only kind of conjuring the monster you claim that you fear. But the truth is, the head of the ADL also said in the same speech, we've never had more business. We've never had more support from the Jewish community. Yeah, because the policies of Netanyahu and others are incredibly unpopular and are creating a backlash. Then you call everybody anti-Semites, and now you've defined this new huge enemy you have, so you get more power, more control, more funds, and get to play victim more. Just like Mark Levin running to Trump with Sean Hannity. Oh, they're being mean to me. Oh, they're saying bad things. Myself, Tucker Carlson, we're not saying anything bad about you, other than the fact that you're trying to censor and control people and then run and play victim. And now you've called on your daddy, Trump, to come and say, ooh, you won't be in the cool kids anymore. You won't be able to sit at the cool table at lunch, you know, in junior high if you're not cool. Well, here's a newsflash. When I was in junior high, I was dating the high school girls. When I was in high school, I was dating college girls. I was never in the lunchroom because my college girlfriend was picking me up at lunch and we were pulling around the woods and having lunch, if you know what I mean. So it's the same analogy now. I don't want to be at your cool table, which is really the short bus of politics, okay? We're the avant-garde. We're the cutting edge. And I don't want to be at the table with Mark Levin and Ben Shapiro, self-appointed control freak jokes, or Benjamin Netanyahu. And I'm not with the Muslims, and I'm not with Ilhan Omar, and I'm not with the Iranians. Got it? Not with that, and not with you. I'm an American, and I'm sick of this crap. And we have a lot of the Jewish lobby running around trying to censor Americans because what you're doing is unpopular, and your answer is to double down. That's not going to work. But if Trump wants to sign his political fortunes onto you, and that's what he thinks, and he thinks promoting Mark Levin as a litmus test, you better support him or I don't support you, good then. Make it cut and dry and clear. You already ran off Massey. You already ran off MTG. Now you're running off Tucker. Now you're running off most of your supporters. And if that's what you want to do, that's your business, buddy, because we brought you into power. We put you there. And I know you're a lame duck now. You see yourself as leaving. You made deals with the establishment. You're just trying to secure your family's own future. Whatever. I've got a job to do this to save this country. Trump, I believe you still love the nation. I believe you're not a bad person, but I can't sit here and watch you put out these outrageous statements. This is going to create just even bigger backlash against you and the good things you're doing in many ways. And we'll just embolden these ankle biters like Shapiro and Levin to call for more censorship of myself and others, which isn't going to work. And now criminal referrals by the CIA against Tucker Carlson. They've done the same type of crap to me over and over again. And Trump's DOJ was investigating the stuff was done to me by the previous DOJ and CIA, which was declassified. Then Todd Blanche killed that investigation, killed the auto pen investigation. They're killing it all. Because you appointed a famous Democrat Party lawyer from the Southern District of New York, the belly of the beast, to be your main lawyer, he's really the head of the DOJ. So it's mistake after mistake after mistake. Or maybe it's not a mistake. Maybe you've decided to really join the Democrats. You're the one saying how wonderful Bill Clinton is all the time now. I mean, imagine, in fact, next you'll probably say, if we don't support Bill Clinton, we're not MAGA. Well, if Ben Shapiro and Mark Levin are MAGA, when they were always never MAGA, then it's you who's betrayed MAGA, and that's your problem. So, again, that's where we are. But I'll continue to fight the Democrats. They're open evil. They're open want for World War III with the Russians. They're open wish for open borders. sexualization of our children. I'm going to continue to fight them, okay? And I'm not going to get in some, you know, infight garbage here and make my life about even giving attention to Mark Levin and people like that that are jokes. You at 79 watching Fox News might not know that Mark Levin is a joke. You might not know that Ben Shapiro's numbers have been in the tank for years. You might not know that, okay? You might think running Elon Musk off was good. And who needs Elon when you've got Mark Levin, the great one? So just enjoy the political nursing home you live in, your waiting room to the rest of eternity. As for those of us that are still engaged, still informed, we're going to move forward with the America First agenda and 1776 worldwide. That's the facts. Here's the bottom line. Trump is saying you either declare your support and allegiance to Mark Levin against Israel, or you're not MAGA. That's what this is all about. Are you Israel first or America first? Israel sees a power vacuum with the Democrats falling apart. They really are trying to take over not just our foreign policy, but our domestic policy. And this is just absolutely, totally, and completely insane. I hate watching Trump commit political suicide. He still does so much good, but Israel's forcing this litmus test. Netanyahu is. I don't know if they're blackmailing Trump or he just firmly believes in all this, but it's the worst possible political thing he could do. Mark Levin is as popular in MAGA as cancer is with the general public. It's just totally insane. So pledge allegiance to Mark Levin, or you're a traitor. It's a water cooler, baby. I got everybody on his daughter. Trying to take a little time off watching Rome burn. God bless you all.
There's Alex Jones giving us a dispatch from what qualifies for him as vacation, since he can never really disconnect with everything so insane right now. So there you go. You just got a full breakdown from Alex Jones of the Mark Levin situation. I would just say that it's not an accident that all of this is happening, that clearly this is on purpose. I think if you sort of just play out how things are going and how they go inevitably, if no change in trajectory is forced on the situation, I think it's pretty obvious that basically the Republican Party was taken over on purpose, not only as a vehicle to get the Iran war, as you had tons of leftists come over to the Republican Party in the 2024 campaign, specifically because of what was going on with Israel and knowing that Trump was the better vehicle for Israeli support than somebody like Kamala Harris. You had all of these lifelong Democrats coming over to the Republican Party for that topic alone. They don't really care if the Republican Party goes down because of that. Like, if we completely get obliterated in the midterms and never recover as a party, it doesn't actually matter that much. The people that are currently serving in the administration, they were Democrats for their entire lives. It's actually kind of a benefit for them. And I think the same thing is happening with America as a whole. I think going to war with Iran was never intended to end in a all-out victory for America. I think the intention was always a Pyrrhic victory, so-called, because the intention is to destroy Iran as a regional competitor for Israel, allow the Greater Israel Project to take place. And if America is massively weakened and destroyed through all of that, well, then that's just perfectly in line with everything as well. After all, if you've watched the Eighth Front War, the documentary that has almost nearly 20 million views on X at this point, you know that in that you have people saying America is the dying empire, Israel is the rising empire. So, okay, the Republican Party adopts this psychotic pro-Israel position. Our spokespeople are Laura Loomer and Mark Levin. Well, then the Republican Party is going to get completely obliterated and go away. And that'll be fine, because then the Democrats can get in charge and they can flood the country with tens of millions of more foreigners, and they can give backdoor citizenship to all the foreigners that came over here in the last couple of decades, destroy America completely. We can just go down and be utterly destroyed. And of course, we can be flooded with Muslims from the third world as well. Then America will not only collapse and be, South Africa 2.0, basically a shadow remnant of what we once were, but obviously the instance of anti-Semitism will massively rise, not only from Americans infuriated that our country is being destroyed over a conflict in the Middle East that we have nothing to do with and naturally are going to come to resent the foreign nation that got us into that conflict. And of course, the key operation being run here is saying that anti-Zionism is anti-Semitism. Therefore, if you criticize the state of Israel or the actions of the Israeli government, that gets thrown into the anti-Semitism pile, you see those numbers go up. And then the Israelis that have started all of this can point to those numbers and say, look, American Jews, you got to flee. You got to get out of America now. You got to come to Israel, bring your wealth with you, bring your investments with you, and we'll create this new rising empire as you drain and actually, you know, in your exit, kill the dying empire of America. Again, their words, not mine. So get mad at me all you want. That's literally the plan as stated and now being rolled out. So again, I just don't think it's an accident that the Republican Party was taken over by the Israel First wing, that the MAGA movement was colonized by the Israeli First interlopers, and is, as a consequence, the Republican Party will be kicked out of power. The Democrats will come in. America will be destroyed. And it's all perfectly in line with everything that we've shown you over the last couple years. Now, I understand Donald Trump is actually live right now doing a press conference for the Iran conflict, maybe giving us some updates. So I would like to go to that and see what he has to say. And again, we're going to cover sort of, no pun intended, but we'll cover the waterfront here on the other side and bring you an update of the weekend's worth of, war news and what's happening with the Strait of Hormuz. And then we do have some more stuff to say about not just Mark Levin and his tiny pecker, but also Tucker Carlson. I'm sorry, but that's literally what it's about. We'll get into it. But let's go to Donald Trump, president of the United States, as he's talking about the great debacle, as it's coming to be known, the war in Iran, a.k.a. the worst decision ever made by anybody. Let's go live now to Donald Trump.
I'll say a few words about what's happening in the Middle East. And if you have a couple of questions, we'll do that, and then we'll get on with our board meeting. So thank you very much for being here. We have a wonderful group of very, very smart, talented patriots at this table. Our powerful military campaign to end the threats posed by the Iranian regime continued in full force over the past few days. They have been literally obliterated. The Air Force is gone. The Navy is gone. Many, many ships have been sunk. They're war-fighting ships, but I guess they didn't know how to use them. And anti-aircraft is decimated. Their radar is gone, and their leaders are gone. Other than that, they're doing quite well. They've been a terror for 47 years. And now, I guess, the world, through the United States, with the help of Israel, is doing what should have been done many years ago. Since the beginning of the conflict, we've struck more than 7,000 targets across Iran. And these have been mostly commercial and military targets. We've achieved a 90% reduction in their ballistic missile launches and a 95% reduction in drone attacks. The missiles are trickling in now at very low levels because they don't have too many missiles left. We've also attacked the manufacturing plants, where the places where they manufacture the missiles and the drones. And that's going on today. We just hit three of them today. It's getting very hard for them to manufacture. More than 100 Iranian naval vessels have been sunk or destroyed over the last week and a half. That has to be some kind of a record. Additional strikes continue to launch from all directions every single hour. As you know, we attacked Karg Island and knocked it literally, destroyed everything on the island except for the area where the oil is. I call it the pipes. We left the pipes. We didn't want to do that, but that we will do that. We can do that on 5 minutes' notice. It'll be over. But for purposes of someday rebuilding that country, I guess we did the right thing. But it may not stay that way. Just one simple word and the pipes will be gone too, but it'll take a long time to rebuild that. We are aggressively dismantling Iran's defense industrial base, and ability to rebuild its missiles and drone capability is getting down to close to zero. and we're hammering their capacity to threaten commercial shipping in the Strait of Hormuz with more than 30 mine-laying ships destroyed. We hit, to the best of our knowledge, all of their mine-laying ships. Now they can put them on other types of ships, I guess, and drop them in. But we don't know that any have even been dropped in. We're not sure that any have been. That's a big negative for them if they do it. It's a form of suicide. But we don't know that they have dropped any in. But we've hit all 30 of their ships and destroyed them. They're all at the bottom of the sea. We strongly encourage other nations whose economies depend on the Strait far more than ours. You know, we get less than 1% of our oil from the Strait, and some countries get much more. Japan gets 95%. China gets 90%. Many of the Europeans get quite a bit. South Korea gets 35%. So we want them to come and help us with the Strait. We have it in very good shape. The countries, I said, we've already taken care of Iran, but now, because of the fact that literally a single terrorist can put something in the water or shoot something or shoot a missile, a small missile, and it's fairly close range because it is a tight area, and which is one of the reasons, you know, they've always used that as a weapon. Iran has always used that as an economic weapon. And it's not going to be able to be used very long. Numerous countries have told me they're on the way. Some are very enthusiastic about it, and some aren't. Some are countries that we've helped for many, many years. We've protected them from horrible outside sources, and they weren't that enthusiastic. And the level of enthusiasm, it matters to me. We have some countries where we have 45,000 soldiers, great soldiers, protecting them from harm's way. And we have done a great job. And when we want to know, do you have any minesweepers? Well, we'd rather not get involved, sir. I said, for 40 years we're protecting you and you don't want to get involved in something that is very minor, very few shots going to be taken because they don't have many shots left. But they said, we'd rather not get involved. I just want the fake news media and everybody else to remember that that was said because I've been a big critic of all of the protecting of countries because I know that we'll protect them. And if we ever needed help, they won't be there for us. I've just known that for a long period of time, just like I knew about the Strait, that it would be a weapon, which I predicted a long time ago, predicted all of this stuff. You guys were very generous in that. I predicted all of it. I predicted Osama bin Laden would knock out the World Trade Center. I made that prediction a year before he did it. I said,
Trump. That's Alex Jones you're thinking of. No, I'm sorry. You're confusing yourself with Alex Jones, sir. Kind of very embarrassing. So I'll bring you the stories on the other side. Short commercial break here. Donald Trump is basically begging Europeans to help with the war effort in Iran, and he's just getting a cold shoulder from all of them universally. He's like, I predicted all of this. It's like, but then you did it. You knew that the Strait of Hormuz would be the noose around which America would commit suicide, and then you started the war. That doesn't make any sense. You knew the Europeans couldn't be counted on when it was time to call on them, but you're depending on them now. That doesn't make any sense either, Trump. Why are you predicting things and then just driving headlong into them? What?
My people perish for lack of knowledge. That's what the Bible tells us. Another way to say it is, those that don't know history are doomed to repeat it. God has given us compounds in nature that aren't just important, they're vital, they're essential. If you don't have oxygen for 4 minutes, you die. You don't have water for 4 or 5 days, you die. You don't have food for a month, you die. And why is that? Because there's nutrients in the food you need that are essential. Well, iodine is one of the essential nutrients. We have massive shortages of it in our depleted soils. Now, I have a new CIA declassified document I'm going to hit here in just a moment. But first, I want to show you a few headlines. UN study, 2 billion people suffer from vitamin mineral deficiencies, particularly iodine, the number one cause of cognitive disabilities in the world today. Here's another one. Salt smarts. Now, iodine has increased
America's IQs. Starting in the 20s, we had super low IQs like iodine. They put it in 15-20 point increase. My point is, this is a known fact. It just got declassified 2 weeks ago, CIA Operation Artichoke, in the 50s. They said, we've been tasked by the big tax-free foundations, the Rockefellers and Carnegies, to dumb down the American people. And we're going to put poisons in the food, the water, and the vaccines to dumb them down to make them more manageable. Absolutely incredible. So right here, ladies and gentlemen, I have taken a few drops of our new T3, even better than X2, pure atomic iodine, and mixed it with our medical-grade methylene blue. Both of these supercharge your cells, clean out your body, and counter the effects of the things now being admitted by the CIA. That fluoride calcifies the pineal gland and jackets your cells where they cannot transmit. Now, I've been telling you this for decades. So they have major studies, but now here it is. CIA declassified research. The human body is a liquid crystal that is literally transmitting and receiving a transceiver. And what does fluoride do? It literally blocks that. What goes in and strips that out? Iodine and methylene blue, they act in different ways. So this is information that the bad guys not want you to know. Also in the CIA document, they admit that most cancer is microscopic worms. There's hundreds of species that get in and colonize your body, amoebas, and eat your breast, your liver, your brain, you name it. And then they call it a tumor and cancer when they're just areas of your body that have been chewed out. Now, you've seen us with countless doctors and scientists on talking about this. Not all cancer is this, but the majority of it from studies is, and they are again telling you that you just got to die. And if you've got an infection of parasites in your brain or whatever, if they hit it with radiation, it kills the parasites. But the radiation also kills your regular cells. Turns out the majority of people in the world have one form or another of parasite. Here's the Daily Mail. CIA faces furious backlash after a hidden document the potential cure for cancer is declassified after 60 years. We've talked about this for many, many years. We are totally vindicated again. And right now, we finally have the original pure iodine back, but even stronger, now known as T3. The original X2, but even better, at thealexjonesstore.com. Again, ladies and gentlemen, T3 and what it does for your body is amazing. So for a limited time, you can get T3, our new iodine, the very best ever, at thealexjonesstore.com if you're a VIP member for 50% off, regular customers 25% off at thealexjonesstore.com. It funds the operation, total win-win. Now, methylene blue, you fill in 30 minutes on average. Iodine takes about 2 weeks to kick in to get the full effect, but it is just as amazing. You are insane if you don't go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and get our Ultra Methylene Blue and the new T3 that's even better than the next two. The same formula, but stronger. Exclusively available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And I thank you so much for your support.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. The answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, sitting in for Alex today. I'll be with you for this segment, and then in the next hour, Gavin McGinnis will be taking over. Stuart Rhodes will be finishing out the show in the last 2 hours. We have a lot to cover in this hour, and we just heard Donald Trump repeat what he's been saying over the last few days, which is not great. It's not great. Basically, the Strait of Hormuz being closed is having and will continue to have catastrophic consequences for the world economy for as long as it remains closed. And it will remain closed for as long as Iran exists, as far as I can tell. The Strait of Hormuz does not require boats to guard. It doesn't require anything other than a position on the Iranian mainland and drones or laying mines. I mean, it's sort of the whole point of why this war was such a bad idea. One of many points as to why this entire conflict was ill-advised and really unwinnable in a lot of ways. Why we chose to do it, I guess, is the topic of conversation. The point of all of the speculation these days, since the answers that we're getting from the Trump administration are ever-changing, constantly contradictory, and just untrustworthy regardless. So, you know, they'll sort of throw anything at the wall, see what sticks, but nothing is sticking, and it's not going very well. So Trump is doing this thing now, and guys, I just put the video in. I think we can go to it. I got a couple videos here of Trump talking about trying to create a coalition to open up the Strait of Hormuz. Now, Iran is being kind of cheeky with this. I'm not sure how official the announcement was, but they essentially said, hey, everybody except for American and Israeli boats can use the Strait. Everybody except for Israel and America. So, you know, whatever. Anybody else, any European ships or Asian ships, they can go through. Now, I'm not sure if that's actually real or if that will change the, you know, perspective of the insurance companies. The real reason that the, you know, Strait is closed at this point is because the shipping companies won't cover, you know, your boat if you actually try to go through the Strait. So this was Donald Trump, I believe yesterday, talking about this. And again, it's just kind of sad because Trump was such a powerful force for America. And it's all kind of coming apart. It's all just kind of spilling out and going down the gutter and just it's all being wasted. And yet the bravado is still there and sort of the same style is being maintained. And so you can hear Trump here. He's trying to put a good face on it. But basically what's happening is that America is begging and kind of trying to like getting into the point where we're like blackmailing other countries into trying to get them to help us to fight Iran. And they're saying no. And they're just saying, no, we want nothing to do with this. The UK has basically said, this is not our fight. Germany has said, we want nothing to do with this. NATO, which is basically us, but I guess out of our own overabundance of goodwill, we let all of the Europeans decide what the American military is going to do. We just call it NATO in that instance. Crazy. Again, we should really do a deep dive on the history of NATO at some point because the whole point of it being created was to be an army for the UN. Anyway, they apparently, despite being funded by us 99% and basically just a auxiliary American army, NATO is not even helping us to open the strait. So it seems like everybody else in the world gets what a bad idea this was, except for Israel and America. Let's go to Donald Trump here being asked about this on the plane. Yeah, Keir Starmer revels in telling Trump he's on his own in Iran. Yeah. Trump pressures NATO, China to reopen Strait of Hormuz. Israel launches limited Lebanon ground operations. That's the other thing we need to get into today is they're not limited ground operations. They are actually trying to ethnically cleanse like a quarter of Lebanon all the way up to the Litani River to make it a dead zone where no living thing exists. Of course, right now there's like 150 villages, including a bunch of Christian villages there, but they are being eradicated by this massive Zerg rush, gigantic invasion from Israel into Lebanon, where Israel is calling up 450,000 IDF reservists to try to storm into Lebanon, which is a bad idea to try to invade Lebanon. But that's the easy part. Then you have to try to hold it, and that's not going to go well. So just a bunch of suicidal activity, suicidal/insanely murderous activity on every side here. And Donald Trump is flailing and begging Europe to help us, and they won't help us. And it's just humiliation piled upon humiliation. Let's go to Donald Trump being asked about this over the weekend.
Militarily, as far as I'm concerned, we've essentially defeated Iran. I guess they can have a little bit of fight back, but not much. Not much. We've taken out their air forces, you know. We've taken out their navy. We've taken out their air defense. There's no air defense whatsoever. We've taken out their leadership times two or three. Might be three. We'll find out soon. But militarily, it's been amazing. We attacked Garg Island, and we left just the one little area standing, and the standing part is where they have the pipes, all the oil pipes come in. And we can do that on 5 minutes' notice. We have it all locked and loaded and ready to go if we want to do it. But we chose not to do it. I chose not to do it yet. We'll see what happens. They want to negotiate. They want to negotiate badly. I don't think they're ready. Just on what I'm hearing. They want to negotiate badly. as they should. But I don't think they're ready to do what they have to do. But I think they will be ready at some point. But we're doing very well with respect to that whole situation in Iran. We are talking to other countries about working with us for the policing of the Strait. And I think we're getting good response. If we do, that's great. And if we don't, that's great too. But remember, like as an example, in many cases, the NATO countries. We're always there for NATO. We're helping them with Ukraine. As many, it's got an ocean in between us. Doesn't affect us, but we've helped them. It'd be interesting to see what country wouldn't help us with a very small endeavor, which is just keeping the Strait open.
Mr. President, which countries have said that they will help them?
Well, I can't say yet. It's a little early. I've contacted today and last night. But we've had some positive response. We had a few that would rather not get involved.
Had a few that would rather not get involved. Yeah, that's one way of putting it. Mertz, the leader of Germany, tells Trump, quote, "This is not NATO's war. The U.S. war against Iran has, quote, nothing to do with NATO," Germany said after Donald Trump demanded help from members of the military alliance. So again, it's just we're kind of in uncharted territory here. I'm not used to seeing Trump look so pathetic and weak, to be honest with you. We're just asking for like just the smallest thing. That's just, like the smallest little favor, and like they won't do it, but they'll do it. Don't worry about it. They'll do it, but they aren't doing it though, are they? No, they're not. And it just kind of sucks. But then again, I wouldn't either if I was them. Frederick Merz has backpedaled significantly to distance himself as far as possible from Donald Trump. The U.S.'s president's demand that NATO allies help out in the U.S. help out the U.S. in its war in Iran has been given short shrift from Berlin. Quote, "This war has nothing to do with NATO," Mr. Merz's spokesperson declared emphatically. "It is not NATO's war. It's not our war. We did not start it," added Defense Minister Boris Pistorius later. What does Donald Trump expect from a handful or two handfuls of European frigates to achieve there in the Strait of Hormuz, which the powerful American Navy cannot manage alone? I mean, don't get me wrong. They should help us. I mean, it's like, but this is just how we get treated. This is just it over and over again. And honestly, I really can't blame them. What are we supposed to say? I mean, this was a stupid thing to do. The war has absolutely no achievable aims. I mean, at this point, and really from the beginning, except for the lies they said about the goals of this war, at this point, the stated goal of the war is just to degrade Iran until it's a failed state. That's it. There's bombing infrastructure, hoping that at a certain point, life becomes so unbearable they just start killing each other and just dissolve into civil war. I mean, that's it. That's the goal. So that's the thing about the Iran war. It's not even about whether we're winning or not, or whether we'll win or not. There is no winning this conflict. You understand? We have already lost. At this point, it's just a question of how much are we going to lose, by what, amount are we going to lose by? But we basically already lost. I mean, there is no winning this, as far as I'm concerned. There is no outcome in which America benefits from any of this. Just not going to happen anytime soon or ever at all, as far as I'm concerned. As Wall Street Journal puts it, Trump knew the risk of Iran blocking the Strait of Hormuz. He still went to war, which was the press conference earlier, where he's like, "I predicted this. I knew they were going to do this." It's like, okay, but then you didn't do anything to stop them from doing it. What are you talking about? It's not like impressive that you knew that they were going to, beat you in this? That's okay. Then why did you start the conflict? Why are we doing this? What is the point of any of this? Pentagon deploys 2,500 Marines and USS Tripoli to the Middle East amid the Iran conflict. I'm sure we'll try to use that to get Karg Island, or something. But it's just, I mean, whatever. It's just a cluster cuss, as they say. There's absolutely nothing to benefit from. Israel says it plans for at least three more weeks of war as airstrikes pound Iran. And Trump is warning the NATO allies that they face a very bad future if they fail to help the U.S. and Iran. Not really, though. I think they'll be fine. So it's just, it's not getting any better. In a word, it's just, it's not getting any better. The war is not getting better. The support for war is not getting better. The attempts to prove that Netanyahu is actually alive are not getting any better either. That's been a big thing recently. And I got to be honest, I don't know what to make of it. On one hand, I think that Netanyahu would be crazy to like be anywhere that Iran could potentially strike him, knowing that they absolutely are hunting him with everything they've got. So I would think that he spent the last like couple of weeks 100 or more feet underground in steel reinforced bunkers. But then again, he's putting out videos where he's going to coffee shops and hanging out on the beach. So I was like, okay, maybe they could have killed him. Maybe if he's just walking around going grabbing a latte in the middle of this world ending conflict. It's crazy. It's just absolutely crazy. If you don't know what you're doing, neither does your enemy. See, the problem is the actual Sun Tzu, the actual author of The Art of War, put down a very, very simple kind of the Sun Tzu golden rule. Rule one of the rules of war is know your enemy and know yourselves. And I don't think Trump even tries to understand the Iranians. I really don't think he does. Why would you kill their supreme leader? Would be one question I'd have. If you understood the Iranian psychology, if you understood how your enemy would respond to that, why? Why would you do that exactly? Why would you think that Iran would be like Venezuela? What gave you that impression? The reason that we're in this is because we're failing to follow just like the most basic rules of war. And I mean that in every way, right? The Sun Tzu strategic rules that you have to follow, like know your enemy, give your enemy a method of escape, or else they'll fight harder than ever. Like all this sort of stuff. Possible conditions for Iran to open the Strait of Hormuz per TASNIM, guaranteed lifting of sanctions. I was reading that. I want to see what that is. Is this new? Is this brand new? They just release demands for reopening the Strait. So, whatever. We'll, if y'all want to print that out and bring it in. But it's not just the, yeah, withdrawal. So this is the thing. It's like, okay, take the deal. Take the deal, Trump. Take the deal. Guaranteed lifting of sanctions, withdrawal of American bases, return of frozen assets, development of non-dollar trade. Take the deal, Trump. Pretend this was your plan the entire time. This, I think this might be the only option for Trump at this point, is to go full QAnon and pretend this was your strategy the entire time. Go, guys, we didn't want a repeat of Afghanistan. How are you going to exit the Middle East without leaving behind billions of dollars of very dangerous material? You trick the Iranians into blowing it all up for you. The idiots, the fools. We were going to leave the Middle East anyway, all right? We were going to leave behind the radar arrays. We were going to let them have all the missile batteries. But we decided to trick them into blowing them all up instead. The absolute idiots. It was going to be like Afghanistan. We were going to leave $80 billion worth of military equipment. But instead, we tricked Iran into starting a war so they would blow it all up for us. And then we can leave the Middle East totally unencumbered, clean and free and clear and out. Wouldn't that be great? This is it, Trump. This is your mission. This is your way out of this. Right now, you're seeing defeat on every side, and you think that your only option is to choose the least painful defeat. No, no, there's a way to claim victory out of all of this. First of all, it's to get a back channel to the Iranians and try to negotiate with them and go, look, just keep hitting Israel. Just don't hit Americans anymore. Stop hitting American stuff. We'll stop hitting your stuff. Let's just let Israel get pounded for a little while longer. Then I'll come out and say, guys, this was the plan the whole time. The plan the whole time. The Israelis have infiltrated the government and they wanted us to get into war with Iran. So I contacted Iran. We set this up. We tricked Israel. It was all a play against them. Aren't I smart? Now we're out of the Middle East. Look, you voted for me to pull us out of the Middle East. You didn't want America to be bogged down in the Middle East anymore. Guess what? We don't even have bases there anymore. They all got blown up. You're welcome. This is it. This is the way you seize victory from the jaws of defeat. pretend it was a plan the entire time. It was QAnon, saving Israel for last. He's obviously not going to do that, but I'm kind of only half joking in that. But back to what I was saying about the rules of war. See, there's some rules that are strategic rules, like know your enemy, always give your enemy an escape route or else they fight even harder. You know, just simple things like that that Donald Trump and his advisors seem deliberately ignoring and working against, not taking into consideration when making their war plans. But then there's other rules of war, like you don't bomb the people you're negotiating with. Okay, now that's also a strategy thing, believe it or not, because there's going to be a point in time that you're going to want to negotiate with an enemy. And if that enemy thinks I can't negotiate with those people, it's always just a trick to kill me, then they're not going to negotiate and you're going to be up a creek without a paddle, which is where we are right now. Because, and again, this is just sad because our government really is just like taking the Israeli tack of like just total misinformation constantly about the war, which of course is always every government's going to do that. But there's like a particular like leaning into it that we're seeing now where they're just really blatantly saying the exact opposite of what reality is. And it's not good. It's not good because we're supposed to vote on politicians. The American people are supposed to have, you know, final say in what our government does. And in order to even possibly exercise that right, we have to actually know what our government's doing. And so, like, I don't really trust the casualty numbers. I don't really trust the statements made from Trump or Hegseth about like how successful all of this is. It could very well be true, but the pattern is that they've just been lying continuously. I mean, we just heard Trump say, oh yeah, all these countries are coming to help us. There's not a single country helping us. The Trump administration came out and said, because Spain said, we're not going to let America use our country or our bases to fly, you know, attacks on Iran. And then there was a report that was like, oh, Spain changed its mind. They are allowing us. And Spain had to come out and be like, no, we did not change our mind. The Trump administration is lying about that. You are not allowed to fly out of our bases. So the Trump administration is in this mindset where they're like, they think they can just lie about things and that it will just manifest in reality. It's not how it works. Like, you can't just say, hey, Spain is now allowing us to use their bases. If it's not true, why are you saying that? It's not true. You can't just say, like, oh, all these European countries are sending us their ships to open the Strait of Hormuz. No, they're not. And you saying that doesn't make it so. What are we doing here? Why are we acting like we're in Hook or something? You can't just imagine things and have them become real. You have to tell the American people the truth sometimes so we know how things are going. Everything's being lied about, so it's hard to tell like what the hell's happening. But Tel Aviv is being bombed to smithereens. There's a lot of suspicious activity around Benjamin Netanyahu and his son and his brother, who I believe was killed in an airstrike. But again, it's almost impossible to tell because nothing is confirmed. Benjamin Netanyahu's son was a very prolific tweeter, tweeting something like 50 to 100 times a day right up until the 6th of March, when he just completely disappeared from X and hasn't been seen since. Netanyahu, there are rumors that he died. And then there was the first defense meeting in Israel where he was not present, inexplicably. Major meetings that he was supposed to be involved in got mysteriously canceled. There was also an Indian reporter that was following Netanyahu around trying to get an interview. And it was rumored and suspected that he had maybe accidentally kind of broadcast Netanyahu's location, like did a video being like, I'm here outside of the Netanyahu's hideout. And so there were rumors that like, oh, that guy exposed Netanyahu's location and then Iran bombed him. But that was just a rumor. But now that journalist has been arrested by the Israeli police and we haven't heard from him. So there's like a lot of rumors about Netanyahu being dead. And then he puts out this video where he's like getting coffee, being like, yeah, I'm dying for a good cup of coffee. And it's like, you're in a war, dude. What are you talking about? Okay, like, I don't know if this is AI, but like, I kind of hope it is. He's in like a life and death struggle. He just started World War III, destroying the entire globe. He's like, I have time to go make a cheesy video about the latte. It's like, I don't think you do, bro. I think you should be underground. Like, I just don't buy it. I don't know. I just don't buy it. It's weird. The whole thing is weird. Yeah, here you go. This is it. This is the official video. Let's try that again. Take two. Try that again, you six-fingered freak. Yeah, so the whole thing is like, okay, you have time to go get coffee. Why weren't you at the defensive meeting? Why weren't you at the defense thing? Sir, what is going on? Look, this whole thing is just a complete and utter mess. Trump is begging at NATO and the Europeans to try to get his help. Netanyahu might be dead. He might not. We don't know. Nobody knows. I don't believe the videos in the slightest. But then again, I wouldn't be surprised if he was alive. I wouldn't be surprised if he died 3 years ago and he's been in AI this whole time. Everything is a lie. Everything is retarded. Everything is insane. And the CIA is trying to throw Tucker Carlson in prison because he keeps humiliating Jewish people in conversation. It's just very upsetting to realize where we are in the year of our Lord 2026. It's absolutely pathetic. Now, That's about going to do it for me here on the Alex Jones Show. I will be spending the next 3 hours collating all of this and preparing for an absolute bombshell broadcast on the War Room, 3 to 6 p.m. here on Infowars.com/show band.video. But, you know, we are not long for this world here at Infowars, but that means is that we are frantically preparing for launch. We are preparing for the new thing to come. And it, of course, is the Alex Jones Network. And all I can say is that I'm very, very, very excited for all of you to find out what we're building and what we're working on, and that you can help us and contribute to this mission by going to thealexjonesstore.com. We make it just unbelievably easy for you to support us. Not only do we have the best products in the world, we have some of our most popular products of all time back in stock for the first time in years, things like iodine. Iodine has been launched once again. Probably our best-selling, most iconic product of all time was the Survival Shield X2. Now we have T3, an even more advanced formula, but with the same incredible nascent iodine, T3 Trifecta Iodine Tincture, available now at thealexjonesstore.com. The introductory price is 50% off for VIPs, 25% off for everybody else. It is going to sell out, so go now, thealexjonesstore.com. Keep us on the air and in the fight. Gavin McGinnis takes over on the other side.
Here at the InfoWars studio in Austin, Texas, there's not a single desk, workstation, or studio where you can't find a half-empty product from thealexjonesstore.com. That's because we all put our money where our mouth is. And you too can be confident that you're putting into your body the absolute best supplements, nootropics, drink mixes, and tinctures that money can buy. So to all of you who are on the fence about ordering from thealexjonesstore.com, what are you waiting for? And to all of you who've made the commitment, we here at InfoWars salute you, and we'd like to say
thank you for your support.
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 Thank you for your support at thealexjonesstore.com.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.